podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Grant Alexander. Joining me, as always, is Jesse Raffink and Adam Mackey. Growing up, did you press all the keys on a keyboard to see what the fuck they did?
Yes.
Then you should know F5 is refresh.
I don't remember that. I remember learning, is it F1 brings up Windows Help?
Yeah.
I remember sitting in IT and I was, whenever the kid next to me looked like a little bit away, I used my pencil to press F1 on his computer and he was losing his mind because he couldn't work out why it kept opening and he kept calling the teacher over and every time the teacher walked off, I'd push it again. Oh, it was so funny.
Oh my God. I would be the child losing their mind.
It's funny because even the IT teacher couldn't work out what was going on.
So this is proof you didn't listen to our Maker's Waffle.
Why? Well, I listen as I edit.
No, the Maker's Waffle. We were on, Jesse and I were on the Maker's Waffle.
Yeah, that was 2 hours minimum.
In that we talked about F1 being help for AutoCAD and how it would take 5 minutes to load up. So if you were being a jerk, yeah, I guess you could be a jerk to someone and press F1 when you walked by their computer and then they couldn't do anything for 5 minutes.
Well, it's like if you export in Fusion with if you export into STL or whatever, it takes so long.
Really?
I have never tried it.
I've no problems.
It comes up quick, but it takes so long to actually export it. Like the bar comes up for ages.
Oh, weird.
And you can't do that. And every time I've had success where I've added another one to export at the same time and it's fine. And then every other time it just fucks them both up.
I bet it's just
I have to wait for one to finish before I do the other one. Maybe.
What are we talking about on the main show? Because
I forgot that we had to come up with the topic. It's been 2 weeks for me, three weeks actually, because we had 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
You've confused me because now I'm Clamp host and not Mackie, and I was looking for my mute button. I guess you want to know what I'm working on since you put me at the top of the list. I accidentally bought a new motorbike.
No, not accidentally.
I did. When you hear the story, all right, I'm saying I accidentally bought it. I've been looking for a motorbike for a long time. So I messaged the seller. I said, and you'll see all this in the future. But I messaged the seller and I said, hey, do you know what's wrong with it? She said, it hasn't run for 3 years. It doesn't start. I don't know what's wrong with it. It would break down on me sometimes when I was riding it and it's just been sitting in storage. I said, okay, no worries. What are you after for it? She goes, honestly, I don't know. I just need it gone. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
And I said, honestly, to be honest, mate, I'm at $200. And she came back. I thought, I'm like, oh, she'll come back with $500. I'll talk myself out of it because it's not worth that. She goes, yep, that's good with me.
Oh.
I said, okay, cool. Can I pick up Thursday? But I'm like, I was trying to talk myself out of it. And then she just accepted the $200. And I'm like, well, okay, I guess I bought it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound to me like you accidentally bought it. It sounds to me like you wanted to buy it and then bought it.
Yeah, but it might have been premeditated,
Adam. Yeah. Maybe. But yeah, so anyway, so I got the bike back. I ended up putting a new battery in it. Got it running after about 5 minutes of just tinkering and firing and getting the fuel going and everything. And now it runs. I took it for a ride. Around the block.
Nice.
And yeah, so I got a $200 motorbike.
Nice.
Yeah.
Probably the cheapest.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've looked online and like heaps of people have bought the same bike for $200 to $300 in really bad condition, like crashed. But that's also in America too. So that's closer to like $400 Australian.
Yeah. So. Well, it sounds like you got yourself a fun project.
Mm.
And what are you going to
–
and why are we going to be seeing it later?
So I'm making a comeback. I've missed making YouTube videos. But
it
I am,
didn't sound like it the whole time you're saying you're never going to do it again. But yeah, okay.
I know, but I do miss it, but I'm just telling myself I do. I don't. So I've recorded 1.5 videos that I'm really excited about. But it's going to come with a change of name and direction for my channel and everything. So I'm going to be going into building custom bikes and all that sort of stuff and not DIY woodworking. And so I'm going to be more of like a motorbike related channel.
Why don't you just keep the name? It works. Maker Mackie. You're making.
Because down the line, I'm not just trying to make a YouTube channel. I'm also trying to make a business out of customizing motorbikes. So my plan is to customize this one. I'll probably end up keeping it for myself. And then I'm going to buy another one, another project, do it up, sell it, and just keep doing that over and over. And hopefully I'll get to a point.
And your business can be another name.
I know that. Okay. But I like the idea of them both being the same.
All right. I'll see you in a couple years when you change your name again.
Well, no, but the thing is too that like I'm trying to completely convert away from Maker. I'm not a Maker. I want to be like, I want people to see the name and go, oh, he does motorbikes.
So what is your new name going to be? Do you have an idea?
I do.
So,
I have actually.
So you don't want to be a Maker on the Maker podcast? I think we need to delve into that a little bit
more. I'm still a Maker at heart. I still make things.
Not a professional Maker.
Yeah. So my company name is actually BKR, it's a bit of a story, but essentially the first bike that I bought, the one I just bought, is the bike that's starting the whole thing. The number plate that came on it is BKR, which I didn't think much of, but then I was like, you could interpret that as so many different things. Like my mate said, build, keep, ride. It's also, if you take away the I and the E, in biker.
True, yeah.
Or it could literally just mean nothing. But to me, it's a bit sentimental because it's like the first bike I bought, that was the number plate, and it just works so well.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So BKR Custom Motorbikes.
It's not just BKR. Well, when I see BKR, I think Baker and not biker. But when you said, my first thing was Baker. Like, I don't know why. That's just what I thought. Like someone's last name, Baker, or something people do. But if I like, that's just looking at it. But if you say it's BKR, I could also see biker.
Yeah, but it's not. That's not what it means. It's just it's up to interpretation. Because to me, it's just BKR. It doesn't mean anything. It's whatever you want to interpret.
All right. So as someone who's dealt with companies who have also random letters as their company names, people are going to think you're a Chinese knockoff company, because that's the only other people who have random letters as
know about that.
Yeah.
So no, because
that means nothing.
Yeah, but really, I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to like be a seller online and all that sort of stuff. Just like a custom, like a local shop.
Okey-dokey.
Like a local builder.
Grant is acting like this is his business. He's upset. What is happening?
No. I am only trying to give the reason we talk is so that we can have some discord about it, and not just if you just want to hear someone say, "Oh, fuck, great job, bud." Don't tell me anything,
don't tell me.
That's never going to be me. I'm not going to be the person though that's like, that's great. Like, I'm going to challenge your shit because I think that's going to make you more likely to have a better.
Yeah. Well, I want to convert. I was thinking like, do I start a new YouTube channel or not? But I'm like, my subscribers are that low that if you're not interested, you can leave. But then I might already get some people stick around. So I may as well just change what I already have. But I also I want to fully convert over to the bike thing because I want to eventually, like, my goal with YouTube is like not to make money or anything, but more of to get more local people to follow me and stuff, where like people are going to want to join in and help me choose like what the bike's going to look like, the project, the paint, all that sort of stuff. And then if I can get enough subscribers, eventually I might give the bikes away or, stuff like that.
That'd definitely be a good way to get more attention. People love that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you often mention how like you don't think there's enough people in Australia or whatever to be an effective like local thing for YouTube. But like Sydney's got 5 million people population.
Yeah, I don't mean, when I say that, I don't mean I don't think that you can do it. I'm just saying I don't see many people that do it. I just, like, I have never seen any, I mean, maybe I just don't look far enough into it, but I have never seen any Australian, like, YouTubers doing the motorbike thing where they're building and giving them away, where there's heaps of people on YouTube that do it in America.
I would say that YouTube is very American-centric.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So, and then on top of that, when you are watching American stuff, you often get recommended American stuff. So if you started watching a whole bunch of Aussie stuff, you would then get Aussie stuff. Like, that's just part of the way they're their thing. But it's also hard to tell where people are from unless they say.
Yeah.
Right? Like, unless you are trying to be the Australian guy, like, you don't know where someone's from unless you listen to their accent. But even then, they could be an Australian living in America doing the giveaway bike thing. But anyways.
Yeah, like, look at, like, good. Alex Steele.
Yeah.
Sounds like a puppy, but he was in America.
Yeah. Well, good luck with this. And see you in a year when you decide it's not the thing you want to do, and we'll be talking about the next thing.
Well, the thing is that YouTube might not last forever. I might decide eventually that it is too much, but I have put no pressure on myself. I'm not trying to make, like, 100 videos. It's literally just a video when I can get one out. I'm not trying to put too much effort into it. But the company itself, the whole idea of customizing and selling and all that, that's to stay. It's the YouTube's just like the back burner. Whereas before, YouTube was trying to be my main focus, and I was making for YouTube. Whereas now, I'm going to be doing the project anyway. I may as well film it and get a video out of it.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Well, I'm excited for you, Adam, even if Grant is not.
Okay.
Because you're just giving sour faces.
The only thing is, like, I just go, like, you're on a maker podcast. You want to keep doing the maker podcast, and then you're like, I'm not a maker anymore. And I'm like,
I'm still making things.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying
to say. I just mean, like, I'm not a DIYer. I'm not doing DIY content. Well, right. I mean, quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. So this is like, don't put label, don't exclude yourself from areas because you want to, like, you can say, like, I'm not going to be doing woodwork, and then you put something wood on your bike. What are you going to do? Oh, I did some woodwork. Now I am a woodworker again. Like, just don't, that's the whole point of, like, just don't be, don't try and be exclusive, or don't try and exclude yourself.
I'm not trying to be exclusive. I want to convert the channel completely into just motorbike content and not, you know, stuff to do with motorbikers and stuff, not.
Cool. I'll unsubscribe. Cool. All right, Jesse, what have you been up to?
Not much, really. Still sick and clinging to life. But I did finally finish my Instructable. I stayed on my work computer late Monday so that I could get it finished. So, yeah, my first Instructable in a couple years is up. It's called How to Gather Wildflower Seeds. And I sort of go through the whole process. And, yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. But it's the wrong time of year for it, so I'm not really expecting much. I'm just happy it is done finally.
Is it going to be featured in the email?
I don't know. Nicole probably will, but I don't demand I get featured, and I don't do the emails, so I don't know.
Yeah. So I always remember that there was one email that came out. And your project was the top, and mine was right below it. And yours was like an Instructables based something project. I think it was like a Halloween. And
probably,
it bumped my project to the second one so that it wasn't the title one and it wasn't the top. Like, I don't know if they order them in that way, but I just remember mine being the second one going, damn that, Jesse Radvink.
Yeah. I mean, the top spot is the only one that we really care about, and that's just like the news on the site or like the biggest project in the newsletter. You got bumped.
I have yet
news on the site.
So what you're saying is that if you're not on the top spot, then you mean nothing.
No, absolutely not. Because there's a lot of other spots in there.
I think just, what she's trying to say is that they're all equal, other than the top spot.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, because
I know.
Yeah, that's the one that everybody's guaranteed to see. So we have to utilize that for our business purposes.
I have been featured in the email like, I don't know, 16 times or something.
Wow.
Yet to make the top spot, though. So maybe one day. Yeah. Maybe one day.
I can't tell you how it's determined when it's not business related, because it used to be Sam and now it's Nicole, and I do not question anybody's workflow. I just keep my head down.
If I were them, I would be putting the ones that I thought would drive the most traffic to the place, or that related to something going on in the business, right? Like, I don't question why they're on the top, why mine haven't made it. It's just one of the goals to one day make it. That's all. And I've been very close, I feel. I feel like there's a pecking order, and the closer you are to the top, the better. And I know for me, the closer mine have been at the top, the more views they've gotten.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely
like true, if you're the last one.
Like, yeah. Not everyone's going to scroll that far. Yeah.
Right. You know what we should do? Instead of having.
Talk about what you're working on.
Instead of having, we don't even have a topic, first of all. So we should just turn this whole episode into talking about whatever we're talking about. And
I was literally just thinking the same thing.
And so we're just
a shoot the shit episode.
Right. Hello and welcome to Clamp, the weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Grant Alexander, and joining me as always is Jesse Raffink and Adam Mackey. Edit that out, put it at the front. All right. So what have I been working on, you ask?
It's good. Just do it. Keep going.
Just do that and then immediately put the part. We're going to have no pre-show. We'll do an after show. All right.
Sounds good. And I'm keeping all this in.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a full, this is going to be a full disrespected episode. No nothing.
No,
we're just going in.
We want to keep disrespecting, then I'll keep talking about your new channel. But
no. Oh my god!
So yes, I'm not editing any of this out.
Yeah, no, you are. You're going to edit all of it out.
No, I'm not.
All of it.
I'm not editing anything out. No.
Yeah.
No. It's going to be a very long pre-show, full actual show.
So yeah, Grant, do you want to tell us what you're working on?
Mainly, what I've been trying to get done is I've been trying to figure out this silly Rhinon car, but I think I'm giving up because now I can't even get it. I tried to figure out a way to short it to turn it off. I was just gonna like hook up a switch to turn it on and off, like wire in something, and now it won't turn on anymore unless I'm holding it. And when I'm holding it, like there's a resistor that like is getting real hot or a transistor. I'm not even sure. But so I think it's done. And the company is like, it's in Toronto, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they might be in Toronto, but based on the words they use, they're not from Canada.
Yeah.
And they don't have an email address. They have a 1-800 line. They don't sell this particular car anymore because it's an older one. So I think I might just give up and I don't know, pull the parts off or something. I don't know. It just it's like frustrating to me because I was very excited and the kids are obviously excited, and it would have been really nice to have a remote control car, like ride-on car. Mm-hmm. And for like $350, I know I can just get a brand new one, but I just didn't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
But like, if they're going to use it, I don't care. And I definitely think they would. And I would feel a lot more comfortable with them driving around if I could control it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say is that the other one that I've used, like a friend of ours had one, the kids could override the steering.
Oh.
Because you're just going against a motor, right?
Yeah.
And you just power over it. And so the little kids were fine. Like they couldn't do anything, but like a 5-year-old got in there and was just like, I turned it, and they were like, no, right? Which normally wouldn't be pretty like a problem, but if they're on the road and they steer into a car, problematic.
So take yes. So you need to replace the motor with one out of like a racing sim brie, yeah. which is like insanely hard to turn.
Yes. Yeah, I was about yeah. to say, oh my god, that would weigh so much; it would have a hard time moving.
My mate's got one, and it almost broke my arm. Mm-hmm. Those things whip back so hard.
Yep. Yeah.
So the difference is like the type of motor it is, right? Like so. The way this one works, it just has a regular motor in there and probably in some yeah. sort of limit switch. Whereas mm-hmm. like a servo motor, which is like how it probably is on the racing sim rig or any other RC car, is always applying a thing to keep it wherever it is. So yeah. if it's straight, it's trying to keep it straight. Right. Yeah. Where this other one is just like, I'm not giving power.
It's pretty much it. Yeah. It's pretty much just you go left, you're pressing the button to go left or right, but there's not actually keeping straight.
Right.
So if your wheel alignment's out, you're not going anywhere. Even if you're holding you're not going straight even if you're holding the steering wheel.
Well, yeah, whatever. Anyways, it's just a regular motor, not a servo motor, not even a stepper motor. It's a regular motor. It's an interesting design. It's frustrating that it doesn't work.
Yeah. Ugh. It is always the worst when you work on something for a while and it just gets worse and you can't really yeah. figure it out. I hate that so much.
Well, the other thing is that what I was going to do is if I could get it to work, I was going to pop the 12-volt battery into our 6-volt one and see if the 12 volts over just fried the circuit or not. And if it fried the circuit, I didn't care because I had a backup.
Yeah.
Right? But now I don't have a backup, so I can't test whether or not the system can take 12 volts. Yeah. Without, like, I obviously could take 12 volts if I swap out the controller, but yeah, anyways.
About Maker Camp. Are you ready for Maker Camp?
Oh, yeah, I guess I am going to Maker Camp. We can talk a little bit more about Maker Camp. That could be something that we talk about. But since we're not doing a topic this episode, much like we didn't do a topic last week, so I guess I'll, before we talk a little bit about Maker Camp, I can say, hey, guys out there, everyone, guys and gals listening, if there's some topics you want us to discuss, we'd really appreciate some. And it's not that we've run out. It's that it becomes like there's like a list. And it's just like a project list. Everyone has one. It's a project list of all the things you want to do. And yet, even though there's lists, you never actually get to doing all of them. And I guess we haven't been really motivated to do stuff on our list of potential topics. But I think having someone say, I really want to hear your opinion or your thoughts on this particular thing would motivate me to talk about it because I like to hear myself speak. And I definitely like to share my opinions. So if anyone wants to hear my thoughts and opinions, then we can or you know, the other people too, I guess if Jesse and Adam also want to share their thoughts and opinion on a topic, then yeah, let us know. It'll be good. All that to say, Maker Camp, I've done nothing other than getting together my box of toys that I'm going to be giving to Jade. Otherwise, I've done nothing to get ready. I don't know.
Oh, really?
It's like, I don't know what else I can do. I'm going to drive there, park it, and then it's the weekend. Like, I guess I need to pack some clothes. I don't know. Like, I keep thinking about it. Like, oh, I need to do something. I'm like, I can't think of anything that isn't already like ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not stressed about it, who cares? You know, like if you feel good, it's good. You're fine.
There could be the problem of like, well, maybe I'm forgetting something, right?
That's my issue, and that's why I never can relax. Like, right now, if I was you, I'd probably be making lists and, like, checking tire pressure and, like, doing all sorts of crazy shit because I just worry.
Yeah. It's probably a good idea to do those types of things. I was contemplating taking the old station wagon instead of the minivan because, I don't know, whatever, it can tow it too. But I drove the station wagon yesterday and, it's had this intermittent problem and just turning the car off and on again, like makes it go away. but it's definitely not, it's, you know, not going away. It's still continuing to do this. We've been doing it for like 5 years. So I probably need to figure out why the fuck it's doing it, but yeah.
What's it doing?
So I think I'd rather not have that while I'm towing. It's not fun to have to, like, I don't mind. So if I'm on the highway and it happens, what happens is, like, all of a sudden it's just, like, got no, like, power.
Like,
you can still, like, drive, but you have to, like, put the pedal all the way to the floor to keep it going at highway speed. So you just shift it into neutral, turn the car off, turn the car back on, and then put it back in drive, and you're good to go, and it fixes it. And then you're back to being normal.
So there's definitely the opposite issue. It would go, like, the power would go all the way up and turning the car off. And it was the spark plugs. I don't know what was wrong with them, but I got a new set of spark plugs and it fixed it. Because there was one day where I was, like, driving home from work and was attempting to stop at a stoplight, and my car just kept accelerating, and I had to just, like, shut the car off and come to a
screeching halt. That is terrifying.
It was the worst fucking thing ever. It was terrifying. Yeah. I mean,
spark plugs.
Yeah, I don't see how spark plugs
would. I can't explain it. I cannot. All I know is that a dude that I worked with at the time, who also lived in my building, replaced my spark plugs for me. And then, whatever he did, fucked it up really bad, because I had to take it to an actual shop and have them do it again, and then it was fine.
Oh,
maybe he was trying to kill
you. Maybe the actual shop did something.
They might have done something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But they only told me spark plugs, so I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, interesting. There's definitely more than spark plugs. It was probably some sort of connection or something that just happened to coincide with whatever they took off. But that would be,
I'm trying to think, like, even if a spark plug was short circuiting or something, I don't see how that would.
I don't either.
Make the car power. Like, I'm so confused.
It was definitely the, like, most horrifying car experience I've ever had.
So this is where drive-by wire is something that scares me.
So
drive-by wire, which is a stupid name because, like, oh, the throttle cable kind of looks like a bit of wire, but it was a cable.
Yeah.
But drive-by wire is like, you know, you could have it go bad and go full open.
All it takes is an ECU to go, no, fuck you, you're going to keep driving.
Right.
And you're screwed.
That's what, like, could have been happening, is there could have been some sort of, like, weird signal or.
What year model was it?
Oh, God, I don't know. It was a.
Like, after 2000?
Oh, no. It was, I think, a 87 Honda Accord.
Well, it would have been driven by cable. It was old.
Then. Yeah.
Because drive-by-wire didn't come in until about 2000.
But then it could have been like the cable was screwed up.
Yeah, maybe the cable was screwed up. Yeah. Maybe that guy was trying to kill you.
The car was
well,
to kill
he
you.
Also had no business.
Was it Jeffrey Dahmer? It.
No. Similar though. I shouldn't say too much about this. A lot of people know who he is in Louisville.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's Bob from I Like to Make Stuff. Is that who it was? No.
I got a question before we move too far away from it. So you're taking your caravan to make a camp. You're going by yourself, right?
Yeah.
Why not just sleep in the car? Like, you've got a station wagon, just put a blow-up bed in the back of it.
Yeah, why would
you don't have to tow a caravan around? Because then you don't have to tow a caravan around.
Yeah, but it's way more. Why would I? But then I have to. I don't get to tow my caravan around. I don't have any of the other amenities that it has.
It just seems like so much extra work for yourself.
It's so much less work.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. If I don't have to blow up a mattress. I don't have to set up in a thing. It's got all my, anything I need for camping, it has it in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How long do you go for?
It's leaving Friday, coming back Monday.
Okay.
It's also, like, comfortable. Like, sleeping in on a mattress in the back of my van isn't going to be as comfortable as.
Yeah, I suppose three nights it's worth it.
Even one night, I would definitely. There's no way I wouldn't tow the thing. It just, like, it's just there. You just hook it up. It takes 2 seconds to hook up, and now you're good to go. Like, there's.
All right. So,
in the time that you would take to blow up your mattress, my entire caravan, as you would call it, which is. Not how I would call it. My entire trailer would be set up and ready to go.
Okay. Caravan, trailer, camper. We've got three different names for it now. That's right. Interesting.
So the problem is to me,
a camper is an RV.
Oh, like fully outfitted. No, it's anything you can like, in a car you can live in is a camper to me.
To me, a camper has its own motor and steering wheel and everything. Mm-hmm. Like an RV. Makes sense. Which doesn't make any sense to me, an RV. I don't understand the term recreational vehicle because couldn't like technically a motorbike be recreational or...
Yes.
What constitutes that as being the recreational?
Because it's the American dream to get out on the great highway and travel with your family. And so that's why they have stupid names.
And then to go against Grant, a trailer to me is something that you use to like move stuff around, like a box trailer.
Yeah, that's what I normally think of when I think of trailer.
So trailer is like short for travel trailer, right?
Okay.
Or camping trailer.
So trailer is short for travel trailer.
Right. So this is when I just say trailer, it's like I don't say, you know, sometimes you would just say, you know, auto instead of saying automobile, right? Like you don't need to use the full word. Sometimes you just say the part of it instead of saying.
I would never say auto for an automobile. I would never say automobile.
Okay.
Good. To me, auto is an automatic or a manual transmission.
But it's kind of like when you would say like train, and you're really talking about a commuter train or a freight train. If you say train, you haven't fully explained what it is. The same way, if you say trailer, you haven't fully explained what it is. Is it a cargo trailer? Is it a utility trailer? Is it a camping trailer? Right? If you say train, it could be a lot of different types of trains. Trains.
To be honest, I've never actually considered the fact that a caravan is a trailer.
Okay. Well, it is.
I mean, by definition, I suppose it is, but yeah. So, okay. So what would you call a caravan? What's a caravan to you?
A caravan is the minivan made by Dodge.
That's true. Yeah. Dodge caravan.
That's why we never use the term caravan.
Right.
You know, I was just thinking, like, I've said caravan before, and I don't know why. It's Dodge Caravan, exactly.
So caravan's an Australian term, then?
It's
also UK, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So
interesting.
So I started looking, and camper, according to a lot of people, is like just, it's not fully motorized. So maybe there is like different levels of this that I just don't.
So it, like a lot of things, and we've had discussions about, language and, trying to define things. It just comes down to like what you're comfortable talking about. And when someone says caravan to me, if it wasn't someone with an accent, I'd think they're talking about a minivan.
Yeah. That's fair.
Right. So why I don't sleep in the back of my caravan is because I want to sleep in my.
You don't own one.
The Chrysler Town and Country is just a Dodge Caravan with different back.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You do own one.
Right.
So you own two caravans.
Right. So that's why I don't use the word caravan. Anyways, all that to say, any way I look at it, I would definitely 100% every time.
All right.
I got a trailer.
I got a theory for you then. So my last week at work, I've done a few standby shifts and I have put a blow-up mattress in the back of my car and slept at work.
Okay.
Would you hook up the caravan and tow it an hour to work just to sleep in it for your shift and then drive home? Like literally a 6-hour sleep.
For sure.
And you've got to find somewhere to park it in the car park and everything.
Yeah, my trailer is very small. So if you have a two car, like one facing each other, I just drive it through. Park there. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I can park in anywhere, basically.
I feel like hooking up a caravan to me is so much more effort.
I really can't. Like, it's you screw down the jack and it's on the thing and then you drive away. Like, it's pretty easy.
Do you have to have chains and everything?
Yeah, there's the chains. That takes 2 seconds.
Chains and the lights and everything. Yeah, no, I was just wondering.
If you're comparing it to blowing up a mattress, I would definitely, there's no part of me that ever wants to blow up a mattress ever again in my life.
It took me like 30 seconds with the air compressor.
Yeah, too long.
And definitely. Yeah, but you blow it up and then it slowly deflates all night.
No, mine didn't. I had it in the car for 3 days in boiling hot heat and it never.
Okay, well, as a person with pets, that shit deflates over the night because somebody has popped a hole in it. Definitely. That's like my experience with air mattresses every single time. You think it's going to be great and then you wake up and your butt is on the floor. Mm. Yeah.
Actually, if I was on standby a lot, I would probably have a camper van.
Mm-hmm. It's actually or outfit a van. Actual van.
That would be a camper van.
A camper van. Right, yeah. There's actually a guy at work that has one, like a van that he's pipped his stuff. He just sleeps in that. Yeah, I don't
That's what I would do.
I'd standby for the first time in like 6 months, so I wouldn't even it's not worth it to me. I bought an $8 air mattress from Kmart.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, if I was on standby and I was sleeping in my, like, I had to be at work, but I wasn't actually working, I would definitely have a camper van, and that's what I would do. I would just,
yeah,
especially if you have a nice flat parking lot.
Yeah, it is.
Like, yeah, then I would definitely have that. Like, if you had a, yeah, but I guess if it would have to be even if you're sleeping in your car. But what does everyone else do if they're on standby?
Either just sleep, like. In the driver's seat or whatever, like just sleep it, lay the seat down, which is what I usually do, but I wanted to be really comfortable for once. Or go sit in the meal room and play on the computer or talk to people and not be any social. But right. The thing, like when you start at 2 a.m. in the morning for standby, like you may as well sleep.
Yeah. Don't really want to be chatty with anybody that late in the morning.
Definitely. But, I'm excited for Maker Camp. It's going to be, when you're hearing this, it's already over, so whatever.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be a fun weekend. And
do you know what activities you're doing?
I was about to ask the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked. The schedule is just, like, overwhelming. There's just so much going on. And I know, like, when I get there, I know myself, I don't like standing in line. So I'm unlikely, unless somebody says, come with me and stand in line with me, am I ever going to stand in line to do something? And the only thing I want to do is, like, make an arrowhead. So.
Is anyone going that you know?
No one. I don't know anyone. I know so many people are going. Like,
yeah. No, but like, you're friends with. Like, do you have people that you plan to hang out with, like, the whole time you're there? Not just, like, meet someone and say hi and walk off, like. Is there anyone that you're going to be hanging out with the whole weekend?
Well, I don't know if anyone wants to hang out with me the whole weekend, but the makers on Zoom having coffee people are all going to be there. Jacob from Other Dog, Jeremy, Jacob Griffin, Dean DePlantis is going to be there, Christy, Steve
from
Shine Metalworks,
Rasmus. People to hang out with that'll drag you around.
And he's going to be stealing my tent again. In terms of like, I won't have like a wing person though. I don't have like a like that's what I need. If I have a wing person, then whatever they want to do and even or whatever I want to do, because sometimes they ask, you know, what do you want to do? And then we go and do the thing. But if I'm by myself, I'm really bad at like.
Same.
Just being able, but if I'm somebody else says, I want to go do this thing, I'm like, okay, well, let's go do the thing. And I can take charge, but I can't take charge of my own wants and desires. Very good.
I am the same.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. You making any stops to or from?
Nah, there's nothing to stop between here and there. The only thing I can stop at is. Sorry?
How long of a drive is it? I forgot.
5 or 6 hours, I think.
5 or 6 hours. Okay. Well, at least you can drive that in one fell swoop. You won't have to.
At least you can get through the border this time.
Yeah. Last time I got through the border, it was going down to Austin's that I wasn't able to get through the border. But the only thing that I would like consider stopping is like Harbor Freight. But I went to Harbor Freight last time and I was not impressed. It was and I bought like the cheap clamps and I think I'm just going to burn them. They were garbage. Like the handles on them aren't even straight. So when you're like, you're trying to screw them, they're like crooked and it's just frustrating to use them. And I'm like, I would have paid 10 times as much And I only bought them because they're like, oh, they're such cheap clamps. You should get some.
There's a reason why.
Yeah. Well,
I thought, how bad could they screw them up, right?
Well, it's always impressive.
I guess you found out.
Yeah. There's lots of other people who are going to be there. Like David from DW Wood Builds is going to be there. He's probably going to hang out with him. Hmm. He's, you know, the number one Ask Us Anything person.
Ask Us Anything question guy.
Pretty sure he's Ask Us this week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and this one, we probably won't know the answer to, but we're trying it anyway.
And now, I don't know how far we got in the other recording.
About normally 20 minutes, so we're 45 minutes in. All so, before you go on, are any of our Patreon supporters going to be there that you know of?
Yes. People like David Wood from DW Woodbuilds is going to be there. I don't know if anyone else that from the F clamp level, there's going to be lots of other people from the different, you know, spring clamp and C clamp levels are going to be there that I've already mentioned. But I don't know exactly. I haven't actually talked to a lot of them to see who's going to be there. And let me just try and talk slowly as I pull up the list of.
Well, Jesse, you should put up a post on Instagram like tomorrow, maybe, just saying like Grant's going to be there if anyone wants to meet him.
Yeah, our local celebrity Grant will be there.
Yeah. So Brad from Brad's Customs is going to be there. Nice. Chris Powell. I bet you Vincent Ferrari's going to be there.
Jeff was on his podcast today.
Yes, Jeff was on his podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jeff's I saw not that. Be there,
he sent me a picture of him recording it yesterday.
Nice. Who else? Keith Decent's going to be there.
So what were those F clamp levels you were talking about?
So, well, the F clamp, Dave Bauer's going to be there. So if you want to become an F clamp level supporter and get your name shouted out every weekend or every week, every Monday when you hear this, if you want me to say your name because you just love hearing my voice or you just love hearing
say my name,
you can join Patreon, go to patreon.com/clamp. And if you support at the particular level, the F clamp level, because F clamps are the nicest clamps. But one day we might get like the parallel clamp level, and that'll be like a ridiculous level, like $100 an episode or something stupid like that. But it'll be like one pair of parallel clamps per episode. But yeah, every week we shout out the F clamp level supporters: Scott from Dot It Yourself DIY, Joe Herdina, Rich from Lowen Designs, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, and Brad from I'm Gonna Make, and all the other people out there who support us at any level. We really appreciate it. If you feel like you got a little value out of this episode, well, I'd be surprised, but you could go over to patreon.com/clamp and you can get access to different things like the pre-show, after shows. We also have a monthly hangout on Discord and keychains made by yours truly.
So, for those that might not have picked up on it, the beginning of this episode is actually what our pre-show usually is, if you're interested in what that would be.
Yeah.
What I've been working on and everything.
To be quite honest, this whole episode is like a pre-show. But
yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, so this week we didn't do a pre-show. Instead, we went right into the show. But yeah, definitely we started it not knowing we're going to do that. So if you're listening and you got that, that's the sneak peek of what we talked about in the pre-show. In the after show, we usually have, something a little different to talk about, but, sometimes something fun, sometimes something controversial. Sometimes we shit on people.
And we make sure we're on Patreons first.
Yeah. We only share that with our Patreons. The people, if you want to know who I hate, you have to sign up on the Patreon. But
I was afraid you were about to say, if you want to know who the creepy guy was in Louisville, I was like, no, hold on.
No. No, I don't think we'll go that far. But with that, Clampmendations.
All right. Well, my Clampmendation this week is actually a TV show, which I think is on BBC. I don't know. I watch it on Binge. But it's called Taskmaster. And it is funny as hell. So the premise of the show, well, each season is five comedians And then there's like the comedian host and his little sidekick. And they have to do tasks and stuff, but it's funny. So yeah, it's a great show. I don't know how to explain it, but I saw shorts on YouTube and I was like, and I ended up just watching the whole show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw a bunch of like TikToks. And yeah. I went like, oh, like I could be interested in that. And then I also went, I have not enough time to be interested in that.
Yeah. They're also like, they're 45-minute episodes, which seems pretty crazy for doing some funny tasks. But it's so funny to see like how people interpret things different though. Like there was one of the tasks was like, you had a stuffed toy camel and you had to get it through the smallest hole. Right. So like, and whoever out of the five of them got it through the smallest hole won, and they get points depending on where they come on the list. So some people were like trying to shove it through different things. And then other people were like, well, why don't I put it in the blender so that it's tiny little pieces that I can shove through, you know, like things like that. Like there's, it's crazy what people think of.
Yeah. The creativity is great.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's awesome.
Okay. So my recommendation this week, I'm going spooky again. I am going to recommend a movie. So I would like everyone to try to watch The Taking of Deborah Logan. It is one of the horror films that I recommend to people the most. I feel like it's kind of the most universally accepted and liked that I recommend to people. It has stuff that will scare pretty much anybody. It has really good jump scares. It has great tension. It has real like family dynamics that are kind of terrifying. It's such a good story. And I don't really want to say too much about what the story is beyond that. Basically, there's a woman who, I can't remember if it's Alzheimer's or dementia now, but basically Alzheimer's. So a documentary crew shows up and basically they are going to film her and her life and how the disease progresses in exchange for grant money. But things go quickly, very far left and like down a hill and through a creek. And it's just, it's a wild ride. And I really enjoy it. And I hope that people watch it because I want to hear what you think about it.
Well, I just reading it seems like it's set in Virginia, which is scary enough.
But, right. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway. I'm not much of a jump scare person, so I don't know.
Is it jump scary?
I mean, there are a few, but I don't know. I wouldn't say it's like the worst jump scare movie I've ever seen. There's just a couple of moments where it's like, oh God. Yeah.
But I love horror movies like Scream and like the gory stuff and like that. But I'm not really much of a jump scare person. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely gore in this too. You'll be happy to know. There's some pretty intense gore. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I won't be watching it, but thank you for the recommendation. I'm going to recommend everyone check out this channel called Inheritance Machining. And this was popping up on my homepage a lot, but the videos were long. And I was like, I don't have 20 minutes to watch someone I don't know or care about. I don't care how many views they have. If I don't know you and I don't care about you, I'm really hard pressed to get to like click on a 20-minute video as my first video. But I can't remember what he made, but I was like, it was something that I was like, oh, I think I might need to make one of those for like my new machining shit that I'm into. So I was like, oh, okay, fine. He's getting like serious views on these videos. There's got to be something to it. And the videos, I can't watch anyone else's machining content anymore because his videos are so good. Ooh. Like the big thing, like with a lot of machining content, people spend too much time showing like the chips flying on the lathe, the chips flying on the mill. And they just spend like, here's 15 shots of it going over and over and over. And I'm like, yeah, I saw it the first time. It looks the exact same. Like,
that, Austin?
Yeah, no, I've had a conversation. I had a conversation. I think Austin told me to watch this, but, I told Austin, I was like, do you see what he's doing? You need to take his videos and replicate them because they're so good.
he has a video making a pen with 2.4 million views.
Yeah, it's really good. It makes me want to make a pen.
But that's what I mean, though. Like, it shows you how good his content must be.
What? So, in his content is, while he does talk about the machining and blah, 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 it's more like he tells a story really like, why is he making this pen? How, what challenges did he encounter and why were they challenging? And how did he overcome them? And he's really good at adding a little bit of humor in there. If you're listening to this, you know, hit me up on Instagram and I want to get you on the show to talk about it. He just did a Q&A video that talked a little bit about why he's doing, like, where his whole thing came from. But he definitely came out of the gate pretty, you know, hot into the YouTube world. In a year, he's now up to 300,000 subscribers. So it's pretty cool. So if you haven't, if you're like me and you see something that's like a 20-minute long video and you go, I don't know if I want to watch that, even if you don't like machining, I would definitely suggest that you check. You know what? I now remember what it was. He did a race car part.
And that makes sense.
And I was like, race car part. That's why you clicked on it. Yeah, I was like, I like race cars, and I could see like how I might be interested in seeing how he's designing a race car part and what goes into it. The big thing that he shows, and he's changed his format over time a little bit, but and it's really good now, is he shows drawing it by hand. And while he's drawing it by hand. I was just about
to bring that up.
Yeah.
I am looking at a screenshot, hand drawing, machining print.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is beautiful.
Yeah. So while he's drawing it, and he's doing like with his little drafting table and it's a really cool setup, he's explaining what goes into the design, right? And why he's doing certain things. And you know, like, it's a really good, you know, explanation. It's really fun to watch him do the design work. But it's even more interesting than like why this is important and why this matters and why, you know, even explaining how this is drawn this way. Like, you know, on a simple part, you only need like a side view and a front view. But on a more complex part, you need a cross section. And this is like, so he goes over like, this is what, you know, he doesn't say this is what a cross section looks like. He's talking about it. So that's a, like, he's not talking about it. And it's like, well, this is how you do this. He's like, I don't even know how to say it. He just approaches it in this way that's like, I'm learning and I'm just showing you what I'm doing. And it's a really good way to, I don't know. It's really good. Go watch his stuff. I watched now all of his videos except for the ones from the very start where he's just cleaning up his shop. Because I don't know. I like the project builds more than the stuff. But
yeah, I just followed him on Instagram.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
All right. Well, how about the Jesse section of the podcast?
Yeah. Ask us anything. Okay.
Did you get to hear the song?
I did. No. Yes. Oh. When I was putting together the show notes, I heard it. I'm a tiny little singing fairy. It's kind of pretty. I like it. Alrighty. So this question, we might not know the answer to, but we're going to try it. So,
can I guess who wrote it?
Yeah, go for it.
DW Woodfields.
You're right. Oh, my God. Yep. So the question this week is, why does ChatGPT take credit for other people's literary works?
So I'm going to start by saying this is a loaded question because it starts with the assumption that we agree that ChatGPT is taking credit for other people's literary works. Mm. So it's, you know, it's like that. If you ask someone like, when you beat your wife, does she scream?
That was a strong example, Grant.
But like, that's the question you can go, well, I, you know, that's like, you're already like, well,
does she?
Right. I don't beat my wife. It's the correct answer, but you're like, you can get like, you could ask a question that by the time you get to the end of it, they're saying no. Like,
anyway, correct answers. I don't beat my wife, but they just say no.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because it's a loaded question, you've started it with a presumption that than this. But I would say ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does it take credit? I think it definitely utilizes. I don't know if it takes any credit for it. I think it utilizes other people's literary works, and I think it does so in the way that if you put it out there, it sees it in the same way that I take credit for other people's literary works, in that if I've read something and it's given me a good idea, do I have to like reference it when I'm talking back? Right. It's like this weird thing about AI is like, if I see, it's the same with like the art. If I see a bunch of art and then I take that art and I turn it into something new, is that, where do I credit? Like, at what point do I need to credit something? And I guess the problem is it's when you're starting to make money and when it looks the exact same. And if you've read any ChatGPT stuff, it can look fine, but I can right now recognize when a website is made with ChatGPT, and people talk about how great it sounds. And I've read YouTube descriptions and I'm like, it sounds like shit. I'm like, it sounds like either some snob piece of shit wrote it, or ChatGPT wrote it. Like, those are the only two. Like, the synonyms used are way too much. Like, they're just too, it's just too much. Always just too much.
Yeah, I agree. But it's just, like, there's no tone that I enjoy about, AI writing. I haven't used it for anything, and I don't know that I will. But when I read this question, I just started thinking, well, I mean, it's pulling from so much shit. Does it even know what it's referencing at any given time?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sort of where I fell on it. It's sort of like, well, you can't really credit things when you aren't entirely sure where it came from. You're just digging for something similar to like whatever query was put in there. I don't know.
My problem isn't that it's not crediting it. It's that it's utilizing stuff that wasn't free to use.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's also a big conversation still happening around AI art too, because it's like, well, I didn't want my artwork to be sampled in this AI artwork that somebody else is selling for, $75 on Etsy or whatever. So I guess the answer is we don't know and we don't like it. Maybe.
Well, the problem is it's a tool that can be used incorrectly. And I guess the problem is like, do I feel like the tool was made in an unethical way? And if it was made in an, like, I don't know the ins and outs of it. I know what like some people have opined on the internet, but I don't really know how it was made. I just know people have complained about it stealing, and therefore, and I could see easily how it does it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. Is it actually stealing? I don't know.
That makes me want to read about how it was made, because my like, I don't know. My immediate response is like, no AI is going to be ethical. Really? Because if we're training it on the internet, there's no way. There's no way.
Right.
The internet is a hellhole. More likely.
Right. And it's going to spew misinformation. Right. Google already does it.
Well, I think about all the, I just think about all the chatbots that start talking Nazi crap, like.
Right.
Same training models, probably.
Right. But if you look at, like, just Google something and it comes up with, like, an answer at the top, right? An automatic like answer. Sometimes that answer is correct, but a lot of people just take that as the truth. But you can Google something and it's like, how tall is someone? And it says, oh, they're 6'1". But then you like, look into it and it's like, oh, well, it was misrepresented and they were actually 6'3", right? But Google comes up and says they're 6'1" still. And how do you get that changed, unless you're in contact with Google and you're, you can't.
So I just Googled how was ChatGPT made, because I wanted to see what the answer was, and it just pulled from Wikipedia. They didn't have an official one. It was just, here's a summary.
Well, this is like when you just yell into the void and one of your Alexa Siri or whatever you use yells back at you, I'm like, half the time I'm like, I don't know if I trust the answer that you're telling me. Like,
I have never used like a I don't know, what would you even call them? Like a chat assistant? What are they called? I don't know, but I've never used them. I feel real weird about talking to an electronic device. I can barely talk to people. Like, I don't want to be talking to my phone. I just can't do it. I've never, ever used it.
So we have one in the kitchen, and it's really good for, like, if you're cooking or something, and your hands are all dirty or whatever, and you just want to yell at it, like, how do I convert milliliters to ounces or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We use ours heaps.
But that's all.
Like we tell it to play stuff on the TV or.
Yeah, well, I don't do any of that.
But we got like, because we got so many fish tanks and stuff. So like everything, all the cables and everything are all hidden. And then all the fish tank lights, the dragon's light and everything's all on timers, which are all run through there. So we can actually tell Google to turn them off or on.
Oh, that's
and then handy. One of our other fish tanks has wave makers in it. So like it literally creates a circle of water. So my wife, like when she feeds the fish, she tells Google to turn the wave makers off, feeds the fish, and then 10 minutes later turns them back on.
Yeah. I can see but you could have done that without yelling at Google.
Yeah, but then you've got to like climb underneath and flick a PowerPoint or whatever.
Right. Or you could have done it.
Unless you want all the cables out in the open.
It on your phone, pulled up an app on your phone to do it. You just didn't have to yell into it.
It takes so much more effort. You know, I will say that Google is actually really fucking annoying sometimes because it doesn't listen.
Yep.
The amount of times you're asking it to do something and it's like, I do not understand. Or you're like, oh, hey, Google, turn on the fish tank. And it's like, I found this answer on Google of fish tanks. Like,
oh, that's so frustrating.
So when frustrating. You're
like, hey, Google, play this song. And it's like, I'm finding a completely different song by a completely different person.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, no, I'm pretty sure that's not what I said. It has nothing to do at all with what I said. But you know what I did say? I did say thank you to TF Turing for the theme song. And I want to say that we're heading into the after show. And you can find us online on all the usual social media places by searching for Clampcast. Until next time, cheers and have a great day.
Bye.